Mark chapter 4, a familiar passage of Scripture. So please don't turn me off when I read the text. God has showed us some things in this, and we hope that you'll be mindful of the Spirit tonight and just pray for us for the next few moments. God has just revived us as of late with a supernatural power. Woo! I've come to fully realize I need Him every time I get up. Can't do it without Him. Physically, we're wore out, but thank God with the Spirit of God on us, we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen. Beginning at verse 35, pay attention to the words in red. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have, He didn't say little faith, no faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Go back up with me to verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. And here's my text for the night. So that it was now full, and I want to preach on this subject, when you just can't take anymore. What do you do when you can't take anymore? Well, we're human beings, right? And I'm sure if you have lived any kind of life at all, you have made that statement. I just can't take anymore. Especially if you have children. Especially if you have teenagers. Sorry, Abby, I know you're here tonight. Especially if you have a 15 and a half year old that has a permit. I just can't take it anymore. No, you know, all serious, she's doing great. But still, it worries mom and dad just a little bit. But we've all been there. Every single one of us tonight. I have three groups of people in this auditorium tonight. We have those that are going through storms, those that have been through storms, and those that are about ready to get into the storm. And the waves have tossed us, and they have turned us, and I'm coming to find out the longer I'm in the pastorate, the longer I'm dealing with families, that storms come of every shape and size, and they hit every single person. They're coming against families, they're coming against individuals, so much that almost weekly someone is calling us or texting us or visiting with us, and they're saying these words, I just can't take anymore. Aren't you glad that the psalmist wrote, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them all? Aren't you glad that verse is still in there? And sometimes we just have to face it. Life is life, and everything's not going to be good all the time. And storms will come, and the winds may blow. But as this passage tells us, thank God we are not alone. We have someone that rides out the storm with us. Thank God Jesus was still in the boat. Even though He was asleep, He was right in the middle of the storm with Him. Aren't you glad we still have a Savior that rides along through the storms of life? Thank God we noticed by introduction that fear filled them, that their faith fled them, and their focus fooled them. And so we come to this point in Scripture, and we have to ask ourselves, what do we do when we just can't take on anymore? The waves beat into the ship so much that the Bible says that it was now full. And it wasn't so much as what they did do, it was what they did not do. And I have three things tonight of things they did not do And I hope that we'll get something out of this tonight. Maybe you've never seen it before. Some things I've never seen before. But I'm telling you what, the Lord has something for us tonight. Because how many of you have ever made that statement, I just can't take anymore? Number one, they didn't abandon the ship. Can I run over that one more time? Even though the storm was tossing them to and fro, even though the water was in the ship and the waves were tossing and it was full, thank God they didn't abandon the ship. They stayed on board the ship. And you say, Brian, what does that have to do with us? I'm so glad you asked. The ship is the church of the living God. And so many of us today, when the storms of life come, the first thing we want to do is jump overboard and get out of the ship. But I'm telling you, it's more dangerous out of the ship than it is in the ship. And they didn't abandon the ship. And if I have anything to say tonight to you that are on the verge of maybe jumping out of your local church, or maybe jumping out of the ship completely, maybe you're trying to jump out and thinking, well, this Christian thing isn't for me, I've got news for you. You better stay in the ship. Don't abandon the ship. It's much worse on the outside than it is on the inside. I'm preaching right now. Hey, I'm talking about the church of the living God. Why didn't they abandon the ship? Well, number one, they didn't abandon the ship because of the ship's history. Never will you find in Scripture that the ship that Jesus rode on ever sank. You'll never find that this was the first time this boat had ever been in the water. In fact, every boat that Jesus rode never once sank one time. I'm telling you, the history of that ship was a sturdy ship. It was going to make it. Yes, it had been beat with the winds and the waves, but thank God it was going to make it through the storm. Hey, I'm telling you what, the church has been ridiculed. The church has been beaten. The church has had its fair share of storms, but thank God this ship isn't going down. Woo! Glory to God! They didn't abandon the ship because of the ship's history. They didn't abandon the ship because of the sailors' help. The help they needed wasn't found out in the water. The help they needed was inside the boat. I hope some of you are getting this, because some of y'all are just looking at me like I'm weird. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church of the living God. Imagine if that's, now these were experienced fishermen. But imagine if that storm was brewing and the winds were tossing and they say, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. I'm just going to jump out. I think I can fend for myself out in the stormy waters. They would be crazy to do that. But yet every week of my life, people are jumping ship and saying, you know what, things aren't good in my church. Things aren't like I want them to be. So instead of sticking in there and sticking it out, I'm just going to abandon the ship. Amen. You're crazy. You're crazy to think that you can survive on your own out in stormy waters more than you can inside the church. Amen. I know every church ain't perfect because we're made of imperfect people. But I'm telling you, it's a lot safer on the inside than it is on the outside. Don't abandon the ship. Don't abandon the ship. And every week, pastors, I feel for you. I pray for you. I know what you're going through. And the things that you want to do, you want to get people saved, you want to search out people, you want to preach to them, you want to see people come into your church and your church grow. But every week of your life, all you're doing is throwing life preservers out to people. There goes another one. There goes another one. People are bailing out on you every week. So you're... all you're doing is spending your time throwing life preservers to people that have jumped ship. And then they get mad at you when they bail out and you don't throw them a life preserver. They made the choice to leave. made the choice to fend for themselves, but yet they get mad when we don't call and check on them sometimes because they're the ones that bailed ship. If you would have never jumped in the first place, you wouldn't be in the mess that you're in right now. I can narrow down most people's problems here tonight with one simple thing. If you're going through some storms, I know storms come to all of us. But first of all, when storms come, you got to check your own inventory. You got to check your life. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying every day? Are you coming to church? And that third one right there, that's the one we don't like. Oh, it's easy to read our Bible. It's easy to pray. But we don't want to go to the church house. We don't want to go to the house of God because we're not committed enough. We got too many things going on out in the world. And yet we're rolling. We're tossing. And hey, you get into problems. Your marriage goes down the tubes. You have problems in your life. You have problems with your kids and you wonder why. I'll tell you why. You bailed out. And if you would have just stayed in the ship. I'm not saying it ain't rocky. I'm not saying churches won't have problems. But you're a lot safer inside than you are outside. That's preaching. I'm preaching. And some of you are on the verge right now. That's why you can't lean on the side of the ship. That's why you can't live your life right on the edge, because the storm's going to come and the waves are going to toss you. And before you know, you'll be out in the water. No way to defend yourself. Amen. It's good preaching. Amen. A few years back, whenever I was growing up, my dad and I, we'd take a group of us and we'd go down to the New River Gorge down in Beckley. Glen Jean, West Virginia is where we put in. And we did a lot of whitewater rafting, and then we got the idea one day that we were going to do the Gauley River, and that the water they let out in September was right under the dam of the New River Gorge there. Cold, cold water. You had to wear diving suits to even stand the temperature of the water. And so all the rapids on the New River Gorge, the Gauley River, was at least class four to class six, which six is the highest you can get. And so it's pretty dangerous. Well, here I am thinking I was probably 13 or 14 thinking I can conquer anything. And so they gave you specific instructions. The instructions were always listen to the guide.
Amen.
Always. You know why? Because he had been down that same river hundreds of times before. He knew where the rocks were at. He knew the direction you needed to go. And even though you thought there ain't no way in the world I'm going to make it, as long as you listen to the guide, he said, listen to me. The winds will toss you. The waves will toss you. But you listen to me. I will get you through this. So I listened. But I didn't pay attention. Rule number two. Always hold on to your oar. That was what kept you afloat. That was what kept you going. And in fact, I think we had six in the boat with the guide. If one person lost their oar, that affected everybody else in the way they could steer. So you can't tell me if you slack on your end, it don't affect somebody else. It will. Okay. I'm getting to where people's living now, aren't I? Okay. Rule number three, there was a strap on the bottom of the boat, supposed to put your foot right in there. And then you took your right foot, I was still on the right side of the boat, and you stick your right foot under the boat when it came over. So that's only protection. As long as you did that and you listened to the guide, I'm telling you, you can make it. Well, Brian wanted to have some fun. I listened for the most part, but I forgot to put my foot in that little strap. So, you know, if you know me very well, if you want anything broken, just give it to me. I can't walk straight. I promise you, I can't do it. I just trip over anything that's not even there. That's just me. I'm clumsy. And so we were there and we went down the first set of it was a quarter mile long set of rapids called Insignificant. Class 4 to class 6, all the way down through this. And so We was ready to go. I was listening to God. I was rowing hard. And all of a sudden we hit that first big bump and boom, catapulted me out into the river. Well, I knew, he said, if you go out, you got a life vest on. But he said, if you go out of the river, the thing you need to do, the rocks are on the right side of the river. So what you need to do to protect yourself is swim as hard as you can to the left. Do you know how hard it is to swim to the left? Whenever you're in class 4 to 5 rapids and the water's taking you wherever you want to go. But you know what I did? I said, Lord Jesus, I don't care if it's Africa. I don't care if it's Asia. Wherever you want me to go, I'll do it. Just get me out of this. Oh God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I was swimming as hard as I could. I was brought back into the ship safely. But my point is, I was living too close to the edge. And all it took was one little bump. And I was overboard. When are we going to learn? You need to get as far inside the ship as you can. We got too many people living on the fence. And you need to decide like Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. They didn't abandon the ship because of the ship's history and the sailor's help. But thirdly, they didn't abandon the ship because the Savior was there. Why in the world would you want to jump overboard when Jesus was still in the boat? And why in the world would you want to leave the ship? Why in the world would you want to leave the church when Jesus is the head of the church? Amen. Stay in the ship. Don't abandon the ship. Number two, and I'll hurry. They didn't abandon the ship, but number two, they didn't avoid the Savior. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, first of all, before I get into the heart of this point, you have to understand they probably waited a little bit too long to get the Savior's attention. Amen. And here's what I'm surmising by reading this. Probably because some of them were experienced fishermen, but they wanted to try to handle the storm by themselves. And so instead of getting the Master, they tried to get through the storm themselves. When are we going to recognize? I don't care how long you've been in the way. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus to make it through it. Maybe they were sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. They were all there all night. Maybe they were sleeping. Maybe they were serving, trying to work it out themselves. But I want you to notice something. I've never seen this before. But in verse 36, it says there were also with him other little ships. So they were not the only ones in the storm. There were other little ships surrounding them also in the storm. Maybe, just maybe, they had their eyes on someone else's situation. Maybe, just maybe, they were looking at all the other little ships and saying, look at what they're going through. Look at their storm. I bet they ain't going to make it. I bet they ain't going to survive. Instead of taking care of their own business, hey, they almost died in the middle of the storm because they were looking at somebody else. Hey, when we going to realize we got enough work taking care of ourselves? Get your eyes off somebody else and get them on yourself and get them on Jesus. Maybe they were sleeping, maybe they were serving, maybe caused the other little ships, but still, they acknowledged the Savior. They didn't avoid Him, they called out to Him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And when are we going to realize tonight that in the midst of our storm, we need to, of course, look to Jesus right at the beginning, but we need to ask Him. He will not rescue us if we first don't come to Him and say, Lord, what about me? I'm going through this storm. I need your help. So many times we go through and try to row and try to get through when Jesus said, if you just call on me, I can help you through it. They didn't abandon the ship. They didn't avoid the Savior. And finally, they didn't acknowledge the start. He said, what are you saying, Brian? I'm saying, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. Kevin, if they would only acknowledge what Jesus would have said at the beginning, they would have known they were going to make it through the storm. That's why Jesus was able to sleep through the storm. It's because he already gave the word, and his word is forever settled in heaven. And when Jesus says it, it's going to happen. He said, let us pass over to the other side. And if they would have just acknowledged what Jesus would have said, they wouldn't have had to worry. Hey, listen, Jesus has promised. He said, I go away to prepare a place. And if I go away and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's promised us he's coming back, so we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. Thank God it may be a bumpy ride, but hallelujah, we're going to make it to the other side. Oh, glory to God. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. And it wouldn't have mattered how much of their junk they would have gotten rid of on their boat. They still needed the master's help to say, peace be still. And when are you, sinner friend, going to realize that the storm of sin that plagues your life, it don't matter how much of the stuff of the world you try to throw off, the habits you try to get rid of, the things you try to do to make yourself better, all those are well and good, but they won't get you into heaven. But all it does is saying, Lord, do you care for me? And he will stand up and go to the front of the ship and say, peace. Peace. Be still. And I love what it says. It didn't say there was a calm. It said there was a great calm. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a huge tornado coming through this place? Can you imagine the storms coming through this place and all of a sudden, boom, they're gone? And the birds are chirping. The sea is still. That's what happened that day. Because Jesus has the power to speak to your sin and to speak into your life and say, peace. 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 Don't you want peace? You may think you're doing it by yourself. You may think you have peace. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't have peace. Peace is a blessing that you have whenever you're saved and you know you're saved and you can lay your head down and sleep like a baby, knowing that you could wake up in glory. Peace is knowing that when you're facing financial storms, that because you've already given to God, because you've already done what you're supposed to do, he said, I will supply your need according to my riches in glory. Peace is knowing that when that wayward son or wayward daughter is strung out on drugs, is that calm assurance you have that when you give them to God and say, God, whatever it takes, save him. That's what happens when peace comes and gives you that calm in your soul. Peace is what happens when you take your life of sin and you bring it to him at this altar. And you say, Lord, forgive me. And in a matter of a split second, the peace of God will flood your soul. And that burden that you carried will be lifted. And you'll go down a sinner and you'll come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. All because Jesus comes to the front of the ship and says, peace, be still. Have you had all you can take? Can you take no more? Don't abandon the ship. Don't avoid the Savior. And acknowledge what he is saying. If you just stick with me, we're going to make it through it. Amen. Jesus is coming. Are you ready?